Since 1911, the 8th of March, International Women's Day, has celebrated the social, economic, cultural, and political achievements of women. The day also marks a call to action to accelerate women's equality. At the University of Edinburgh, women contribute to a vibrant research culture across a range of different disciplines. In this series, we hear about the work of five such women.
My name's Sarah Ketley, and I'm a professor in design research at Edinburgh College of Art.
What is your area of research?
So I'm in design research. My focus is on the way design as a process can embody different attitudes, whether that's to the world, to people, or to knowledge itself. I'm interested in particularly the kinds of design where people are not rational consumers, where we don't have a choice about buying a particular thing, but instead where we're surrounded by designed spaces, systems, and importantly, technologies. And I'll talk about wearable technologies as an example of this in a moment. So the attitude of design can then become far more important. It can have powerful political and ethical ramifications for all of us. So this kind of design research is quite strange. It's different to other kinds of research because it's researching into the future. It asks, what if? I do also the research through making, which adds to a bit of the complexity. So the two main strands of this are technologies, for example, wearable technologies. What does it mean to craft these future technologies rather than design them? But also care. How can design develop a care ethic? What attitudes are being negotiated when design gets involved in health and care sectors? I think there's quite a strong link here between craft as a process and care ethics, and I'm interested in how design is becoming more relational in its attitudes.
What makes you particularly interested in this area of research?
Yeah, my background is actually in making. I trained as a jewellery designer, or maybe more importantly, a contemporary jewellery designer. And I was first introduced to the idea of wearable computing about 20 years ago. And at that point, there wasn't really much on the high street. That was kind of the aim of the developers. But the aesthetics at that point were really very much like the Borg. Think Arnold Schwarzenegger in Terminator. And maybe more importantly, the really big idea was that the technology should be completely hidden on the body and not visible to anybody else. So as a jeweller, obviously, that was quite a strange concept to me. People adorn themselves in many different ways and for many different reasons, and not a lot of jewellery is actually hidden. So should wearables be then relegated to the status of underwear, for example? I started asking how it could be designed differently, what the hardware might look like, what the displays might be like, and how identity is negotiated through what we wear, including wearable technology. So when we start talking about things like medical wearables and these other different fields, all of a sudden, these attitudes, these approaches, it becomes very complex. What is a medical wearable? What role is it playing and who for? Is it just a medical intervention and we accept that it looks like a medical device? Or should it play a part in a person's everyday life, become a part of their wardrobe of self-expression and identity? How can we go about designing them? So by exploring the design process with real people, participants, and with multidisciplinary teams, I can explore these relations and these attitudes that go on to impact people's lives in very, very pervasive ways.
What are you currently working on?
I'm currently working on a large project called Healthier Working Lives, and this is in collaboration with Scottish Care, who are a membership organisation for the care sector. This is one of seven projects funded to try and support the development of a more resilient care sector in the UK. And we're trying to focus on the issues that face older care workers in Scotland. What makes it difficult for them to stay in their jobs? How can the sector attract more workers? And so on. I'm leading the co-design team in the project, and we'll be bringing creative individuals who are working in the care workforce. They've got lots of ideas, but they've got no way of making things happen, into contact with the design sector, with entrepreneurs. They've got lots of know-how, but they often don't get enough opportunity to learn from workers' real-life experience. So what we're doing is trying to bring them together so they identify the issues together and come up with creative solutions that could have the potential to change the health of the sector itself. And we're particularly hoping to add to previous calls for new roles in the field that can support ongoing creative approaches to workplace and service improvement.
Why is International Women's Day important to you?
Yeah, this was quite an interesting question. I think design's attitudes to the world are part of a much bigger cultural picture that changes over time and place. Design's attitudes are informed by colonialism, by the idea that success is measured on the financial bottom line, and by gender issues and feminism, and by shifting ideas and philosophy. So they're not kind of separate from culture. And so while International Women's Day is really laudable, I don't think we should be needing a single day to celebrate the existence and achievements of half of the planet's population. The fact that we do reinforces this form of marginalisation. So while it's really important to note the women in these fields, and there have been really notable women in the fields of, say, computing, in design, in care, obviously, to highlight inequalities they've faced and individual brilliance, it's actually more important to look to the marginalised ways of knowing and being in the world that that's a symptom of. So, while this is obvious links with feminist theory, it also includes all marginalised ways of knowing. And design is coming round to that realisation, particularly over the past few years. So design's really beginning to recognise its own inherent colonialism and its attachment to what can be actually quite destructive forms of progress just for its own sake. So I think the day is important because it does give us another opportunity to pay attention to these attitudes and power relations in this field. And these have so much impact, obviously, on individuals' identities and on ecologies.
What do you hope to achieve with your work?
Design is getting increasingly involved in health and care sectors, and the technologies we're designing are getting more and more pervasive. So I'm really hoping that this work on attitudes within design and the attitudes to these things helps us to really think carefully about the impact of what we're doing. I'm really hoping that we can scale up a relational approach to design practice through education towards design as a way of valuing rather than values-based design. And also kind of challenging wider publics to see technologies that we buy or that we use that these are not how they have to be. Things don't have to be in plastic boxes. Things don't have to be black or grey. You know, wearables don't have to be head-mounted displays and Fitbits. This isn't how they were always meant to be. They came from somewhere, and we can design and craft our technologies in so many different ways. We just happen to have gone down these particular paths, and I just want to open those back up again.